your opinion, would a traffic study that included actual traffic counts on Route 6 today give you any better information upon which you could base your anticipated trip generation?
No, it wouldn't.
Could you explain your answer?
Yes, the trip generation is based on the ITE projection. So the existing traffic volumes on Route 6 for the purpose of trip generation for this site has no relevance. In terms of the distribution of truck traffic, documenting the existing traffic volumes on Route 6 does not change or have any effect on the fact that this warehouse is located where it is. The interchange of I-84 and Route 6 will be oriented to I-84, and it doesn't change the fact of the various truck restrictions that are present, which would further make it difficult or impossible for truck tractor trailers to go through the borough of Milford.
Objection? Hold on, what's your objection?
He's making a statement that on-site is not required, but how does he know how many trucks are coming up Route 6 if he doesn't do an on-site study?
He's sharing his opinion.
That's an objection to an answer, not a question, which I think is out of order.
I'm trying. We don't have any expert to counter traffic because they won the lottery.
Sir, you can have experts at your time, but right now this is the applicant's case, and he's entitled to move forward.
In order to discourage truck traffic from deviating from your projected distribution or direction of truck traffic, your report indicates that you recommend the installation of a, quote, 20-ton weight limit ahead dash local delivers only sign on the left turn egress line of the site access, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, obviously, the installation of a sign doesn't necessarily mean everybody obeys, but it's your recommendation to remind people of that fact of drivers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Have you reviewed the conditional use plans for this project?
I have.
Including the most recent plans?
Yes.
How many points of access to US Route 6 are shown on the plans contemplated for this project?
One regular vehicular access.
Could you describe the access as shown on the plans? Not everybody has a copy of the plans.
So, as proposed, the access would intersect Route 6 opposite Buist Road. It is recommended in my report that it be, and I believe it's shown this way on the conditional use plan, to have two egress lanes, one for left turns and throughs, anybody that would be going through to Buist, and right turns in a separate lane. Those would be the exit lanes, and one entering lane for combined left turns, right turns, or through traffic that would be entering. There's also an existing left turn lane on Route 6 that serves this driveway. It's recommended that that certainly be retained and very likely be lengthened to accommodate the proposed use. It is not recommended, nor do we believe it necessary, to provide a separate right turn lane on Route 6 heading west for the inbound traffic. All of what I just said is subject to PennDOT's review and approval. I believe what we recommend and what's shown on the plan would be approved by PennDOT, but certainly whatever they require, the applicant would be obligated to do. The one other thing, which I don't know is on the conditional use plan, but it is a recommendation to enhance or enforce the truck limitation, is because inbound right turn trucks would be, tractor trailers would be prohibited. One physical limitation that could be employed is to restrict that right turn radius, limit it to such that it will only allow single unit trucks, I'm talking, you know, UPS delivery truck, for example, and passenger vehicles, and not allow for the larger vehicles to physically make that turn into the site. Have to be careful that an emergency vehicle can make the turn, and PennDOT would have to agree and approve that. But that's a recommendation to further enhance the restriction.
And Mr. Hoyer, I note that on page 3 of your report, which is at page 123 of the impact statement, you indicate, where you have 4 paragraphs that support, you believe, support your assumption that 100% of the truck traffic would be oriented to and from I-84. Is that correct?
Correct.
There's no objection. I'd like you, it's going to be offering your report as an exhibit, obviously, but there are a number of people in the audience who don't have the benefit of a copy. I'd like you to read those 4 reasons as they're stated in your report, please.
Okay, so this was formatted as 4 dot point reasons for that there are existing physical and operational constraints in and around Milford Borough. In that direction. So the 4 points are as follows. US Route 6 to from the east toward Milford can only accommodate local trucks given the vertical and horizontal curves and the existing signage for trucks, 20 mile per hour speed limit, and steep slopes within the segment between the site and the town of Milford. The second point. The bridge over Salkill Creek on US 209, US 206 south of Milford is signed with a 30-ton weight limit, which does not allow for regional trucks to utilize this route. Point number 3, US Route 209 south of Milford is signed 209 south closed to commercial vehicles through the Delaware Water Gap National Park, which similarly does not allow regional trucks to use this route. And the 4th point, Route 206 in New Jersey is mostly a 2-lane roadway that does not access a regional commerce route until its interchange with I-80, approximately 35 miles from Milford Borough. The I-80 corridor is its own interstate commerce route separate from the I-84 commerce route, with its own distribution network that would not include traversing Route 206 from Milford Borough.
Thank you. After this warehouse project has been developed on the site and is at full operation, would you anticipate that it will be necessary to install a traffic signal?
I do not, and I do not believe one would be warranted for installation.
Right. Can you explain for those in the audience here who are interested what you mean when you say a signal would not be warranted?
So any possible traffic signal installation needs to be approved by PennDOT, regardless of whether it's on a state road, but in this case it is on a state road. One of the criteria that PennDOT requires is that it meets a certain level of volume thresholds or warrants for installation. Based on the traffic volumes projected for this site and on Route 6, I don't believe a traffic signal would be warranted. It wouldn't meet those volume thresholds at this location.
And are those warrants, what we call warrants, is that in a published document that PennDOT issues?
It is.
All right. So it's an objective determination?
Yes.
And what is the, at what location, if you recall, are the PennDOT regulations published?
Well, they're in several locations. There's a highway occupancy permit manual. There's the traffic signal design manual, and actually the warrants are federal warrants put out by the Federal Highway Association, which is what PennDOT adopted into their manual.
Okay. Now, does PennDOT also classify what I'll call access driveways? By class or by name?
Yes, they do.
How do they classify them?
They classify them in terms of, well, really 4 categories. Low volume driveway, medium volume driveway, high volume driveway, and the 4th category is minimum use driveway, which would not apply here. Those are established based on traffic volumes on a daily basis coming in and out of the driveway.
Now, based on your projected traffic volume, how would you anticipate that this driveway will be classified using PennDOT standards?
I believe it would be classified as a low-volume driveway.
And what is a low-volume driveway? What is the standard?
The standard is that it have between or up to 1,500 trips per day. The projection based on our study is 724 trips per day. So we're within the low volume threshold.
And in terms of the permitting application process, what difference does it make whether you're low, medium, or high volume driveway as you design it?
Well, there are certain design standards that PennDOT has for each. When you go up a threshold, there are certain minimum requirements that have to be met. There are exceptions to that, especially if you have a low volume driveway that typically requires one entrance lane, one exit lane within 24 feet width. You can always have it be a wider or we'll say larger design than the low volume standard. But what typically happens is for a high volume driveway, you can't pull back on the requirements. So if that made sense, the low volume driveway standards are essentially for a two-lane driveway. I'm recommending it have two egress lanes for traffic flow. I believe PennDOT would concur with that recommendation.
And it still would be a low volume driveway. It doesn't change it, even though it has more than two lanes.
Right, it doesn't change the classification. That's based on volume. And when they issue the permit, that's specifically on the permit itself.
On page 4 in your report, second full paragraph down, you use the term level of service. Can you explain what level of service means?
I can.
Would you please?
Level of service is basically a grading system or judgment of the operation of an intersection. There's level service A being the best, through level service F being the worst, and it's based on thresholds of vehicle delay experienced at the intersection. So for example, a vehicle exiting the site onto Route 6 has to stop and wait for a gap in either one direction of traffic if they're turning right, or a gap in two directions of traffic if they're turning left. They have to wait for there to be gaps in traffic. The average amount of delay experienced by vehicles in the peak hour at the intersection establishes the level of service.
How did you, in this case, project the level of service, assuming that the driveway is complete in accordance with your design, without any no traffic signal is present?
I did.
Okay. Could you tell us how to go about doing that?
So there's a publication called the Highway Capacity Manual. It's a federal issued publication that contains all of the methodologies to analyze an intersection to determine its level of service. So there's a computer program that we utilize that is based on those standards. And then we input various factors such as traffic volumes, truck volumes, speed limit of the roadway, the configuration of the driveway, various other things. If it's a traffic signal, we input things like the traffic signal phasing, whether there's left turn phases or not, the timing of the traffic signal. So we enter in various aspects to determine how the driveway will operate with the projected volume.
And in this case, Mr. Horner, what is your estimate, or what level of service do you assign to this driveway once it's built in the warehouse's operation?
Based on our analysis, it will operate at level of service C in the morning peak, level of service D, as in dog, in the afternoon peak. That's for the exiting traffic. Both of those levels of service are within the acceptable level of service range that PennDOT stipulates. The entering left turn movement, while it doesn't have a stop sign, it does have to yield to opposing traffic. So that can be measured as well. That would operate at level of service B as in void.
Objection?
Terms of...
We've got another objection.
In his last report, he said it was level E.
What, can you state your objection?
Why, how is he changing his thing from the last time he said it was E? That's, now he's saying, I object that he's saying it's E, it's C now instead of what he said a month ago, which were 2 months ago, which was E.
Okay, that's not an objection. We'll overrule, please.
Mr. Horner, I don't know that it's in your report or in your appendices, but level of service, do you know the length of delay that level of service B versus C versus D? And if it's in your report, tell me where
it typically is. If it's not, though, I do know. So for an unsignalized intersection, the range for level of service B, well, I'll start with A. Level service A is 0 to 10 seconds of average delay per vehicle on that approach. For level service B, it's between 10 and 15 seconds of delay. For level service C, it's between 15 and 25 seconds of delay. For level service D, it's from 25 seconds to 35 seconds of delay. And level service E is 35 seconds to 50 seconds of delay. Level service F is above 50 seconds. That's for an unsignalized intersection. It's slightly different for a traffic signal.
Is that information in your report in one of the appendices, or did you do that from memory?
It's not.
Okay, thank you. I think you've already told us your opinion that you think the left turn lane that's existing should perhaps be wide lengthened. Is that correct?
Yes.
Turn area in sight. What is the process that you will go through when an application is made for a highway occupancy permit for the driveway that you've described for this project?
Well, the first step is a scoping application to PennDOT, which we've already submitted one. The purpose of that is to solicit preliminary feedback from PennDOT prior to a detailed engineering design of the access. The next step typically takes place during land development phase of an application would be to prepare engineered plans of the access and the Route 6 frontage for submission to PennDOT for them to review for the issuance of a highway occupancy permit.
Will Milford Township be involved in that permitting process?
Yes.
And when you say yes, you said that rather conclusively. Is that, will PennDOT require that?
Yes.
And will Milford Township have an opportunity to provide input to PennDOT if it has any with respect to the design?
Yes.
At what point, Mr. Horner, will PennDOT accept an application for a highway occupancy permit? Would it accept one today? Do you know?
Well, it would accept one in the in a process like this, going through conditional use. However, typically it would accept it once this becomes a land development application with the township. That's typically when an HOP application is made and accepted by PennDOT. The reason being is they like to know.
Responsible. He was asked, would the township accept, would the PennDOT accept an application? And his answer is typically what happens, which is not responsible.
We'll sustain that Hebrew phrase.
Mr. Horner, at what stage in the development process do you typically submit an application for a highway occupancy permit to PennDOT?
Within the land development stage.
And is there a reason why that is typically done by you and by other traffic engineers with whom you are familiar?
A couple of reasons. One is because it requires a fully engineered access plan, if the project has not received at least if there's no application before the township, it's usually deemed not practical to complete engineering design plans of an access that may not occur. The second reason is PennDOT likes there to be, that it knows that the that it is a real application, meaning they don't want to see an application submitted by an applicant if there hasn't been a land development application submitted to the township. Because they don't want to review something that may not even occur.
And is that statement based on your experience, Mr. Horner?
Yes.
You talked about the scoping process. Typically, strike that, in this case of this scoping application, did you receive any direction from PennDOT as to when or whether you needed to make traffic counts or any similar details of that nature?
Objection, here, sir.
Sustained.
Does the location of the access drive onto Route 6 meet Pennsylvania Department of Transportation standards, Mr. Horner?
Yes, it does.
And where does one find those standards?
In the Highway Occupancy Permit Manual that DOT publishes.
Yeah. In this case, Mr. Horner, has the information that you've gathered in the studies that you have included within your traffic impact assessment giving you sufficient information to state an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty about the impact or lack of impact that this project will have on traffic?
Yes.
What is your opinion?
Well, my opinion is that the access can be designed to safely and efficiently handle the traffic from this development, and that the impact on Route 6, the impact on the adjacent interchange will be relatively minor, and any improvements necessary to accommodate that that PennDOT requires can reasonably be done by the applicant.
In addition to performing the traffic aspect of the traffic impact assessment, were you also consulted with respect to parking demand that will be generated by this project?
I was.
Okay. Under the Milford Township Zoning Ordinance, specifically section 408.1, the ordinance states that the number of parking spaces will be based on several factors. And it states that the first criterion in the state is industry standards of parking needs for the type of use proposed on actual case study comparisons for a project of similar character. Is there a source that is generally consulted by transportation engineers, Mr. Horner, that provides such comparisons?
There is.
And what is that document?
It's also an Institute of Transportation Engineers, or ITE, publication. It's called Parking Generation Manual, currently in its fifth edition. That is a database of similar uses, variety of uses, that helps project parking demands for various uses.
And did you consult that source?
I did.
And are the results of your of that consultation included within your report?
Yes.
That begins at page 5 of the report, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Is the IT marking generation manual specifically
stated? I'm sorry, Council, have you been marking these exhibits that you're...
It's already marked in the big book. If you don't have a copy of the big book, Mr. Van, we'll give you one. This is the impact assessment that we're referring to.
Mr. Van, we're going to specify that as page 125 of the report.
It would be at 125 of the impact statement, that's correct. I tried for the sake of clarity to use the pages that came directly from the impact statement when I could. Is this IT parking generation manual generally accepted and utilized by traffic engineers in projecting peak parking demands for a variety of land uses?
Yes.
For the proposed warehouse, we indicated previously that we used IT Land Use Code 150 and considered it to be the most appropriate. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you use the same land use code? Does the IT parking generation manual use the same codes?
Yes.
Okay. So again, we're talking about Land Use Code 150.
Yes.
Using the IT manual, did you determine the estimated peak parking demand for this site?
I did.
Could you tell us the steps that were involved in making that projection?
Yes. So there's two independent variables in the parking generation manual for Land Use Code 150, similar to what there is in your trip generation manual. And that is based on employee numbers and based on square footage of the building. So we looked at both, and based on the IT manual, the peak parking demand rate per 1,000 square feet of building area is 0.39, which yields a peak demand of 169 spaces based on the building size. The peak rate in the IT manual per employee is 0.78 per employee. Using that calculation, based on the 110 employees projected, the peak demand would be 86 spaces. So it gives a very different answer based on the method. We like to be conservative with our projections, so I would point to the 169 space demand. And my conclusion was that based on the proposed parking on the conditional use plan of 222 parking spaces, it will acceptably accommodate the peak parking demands.
That would be regardless of whether you use the square footage or the employees as a basis.
Correct.
And that calculation is in Table 3 of your report, also on page 125 of the impact statement, is that correct?
Yes.
And in the case of the proposed warehouse use, as shown on the conditional use plans, do you have an opinion, Mr. Horner, based on your experience and the calculations that you provided, that the industry standards as reflected in the IT Parking Generation Manual 5th Edition are adequate to estimate parking demand?
I do.
And what is your opinion?
Well, my opinion is that the peak demand would be approximately 169 spaces, and the conditional use plan shows that there would be 222 spaces ultimately constructed. So it would be able to accommodate the demand. There'd be no spillover onto Route 6, for example.
Okay. And just for the sake of completeness, on the sixth page of the March 22 report, page 126 of the impact study, did you send out a summary of your conclusions? Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's titled Summary of Conclusions and Next Steps. So what would the next steps be, assuming that the conditional use is granted.
Well, the next step would be two things. One would be to provide additional traffic studies as may be necessary in the land development phase to Milford Township. And separately, PennDOT would be to either resubmit a scoping application to address the comments they initially issued, or proceed right to a highway occupancy permit plan if this advances to land development phase.
Okay, that concludes my direct examination, Mr. Horner.
Mr. Horner, my name is John Clemmeyer. I represent the Milford Water Authority.
I have a few questions.
Good evening, Chairman. In order to prepare your report, you do any research on the history of truck traffic in the borough of Milford?
No.
So if there were a history in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s of 3,500 tractor trailers traveling through the borough of Milford every day, that was not part of your research. Is that accurate?
Let me make sure I understood the question. Your question was, if there was 3,500 trucks per day in the 1960s and 70s?
60s, 70s, and 80s. Going through the borough of Milford, that would not have been part of your research of the history of traffic in the area?
No, it would not.
Okay. Do you know why trucks stopped going through at that level?
Objection. We have no facts and evidence to lay a foundation to that question, because we don't know whether they did and whether they were going through or not.
Well, here
so far as Mr. Claymore's statement.
He already said it in his testimony.
No,
he said that there's a ban on truck traffic through the National Recreation Area. It was his statement. I'm questioning him about that statement.
I have no problem with that question as clarified. I don't think that was exactly the question as it was framed.
But that was the answer, so that's what I'm referring to. So what I'm saying is that you don't know how much traffic there was before there was a ban.
I do not.
But you know there was a ban.
From what I observed with my field review, that there are truck prohibitions, yes.
Okay. Did you do any research to see the basis of that ban? Whatever the details of that ban are?
No.
So if I were to tell you that there is an exception for local deliveries, would that be news to you?
I know one of the signs does expressly say local deliveries, but no, that would not be a surprise. That's typical.
Okay. So, trucks delivering a truckload of materials to this warehouse, that would be a local delivery, wouldn't it?
Not by my definition, no.
Well, isn't the warehouse proposed to be within a short distance of the park?
It depends how you define short. I think it's at least 3 miles, if not more.
Well, since you haven't done the research, you don't know what the federal government considers to be a local delivery for purposes of that ban, do you?
For the purposes of that specific ban in Milford Borough, no.
So you don't know whether it encompasses deliveries to the entirety of Pike County or deliveries to the entirety of Orange County? You don't know that, do you?
I do not know.
Okay. Now, if, and I'm going to give you this as a hypothetical. If deliveries to Pike County facilities were to be considered as an exception based upon a local delivery, couldn't trucks go to the warehouse coming up 209 through the National Recreation Area?
But you have to answer the question.
I asked a hypothetical. I think I framed it properly.
Overruled.
Could you please repeat the question?
Yes. I want you to assume that the local delivery exception to the ban incorporates deliveries made to facilities in Pike County.
Okay.
I want you to assume that.
Okay.
And based upon that assumption, wouldn't a delivery to this warehouse be under that exception?
Well, based on your hypothetical, you've defined it that way, so yes.
Okay. So a truck traveling north up 209 through the park would then reach the borough of Milford and would have to decide if it was going to the warehouse, whether it would make a left-hand turn and go up Route 6, or whether it would go through Milford Township, Westfall Township, go to the interchange, and get on 84, wouldn't it?
Perhaps.
Well, is there any other place to go?
Well, we're dealing in hypotheticals, so it's difficult for me to answer a hypothetical question.
Well, but you researched all the traffic in the area as part of your report, did you not?
As I said, I did not research the truck traffic from the 1960s, and I didn't research the truck traffic currently in Milford Borough that may be violating the prohibition or not. I'm not focused on the site and its own prohibition, restricting trucks from coming in from that direction.
I apologize for interrupting. I'm not suggesting you do anything, then put yourself in the position of a truck driver who's going to the warehouse, has determined that this is strike that entire question. Everything else being equal, a truck driver is going to take the shortest route, isn't it?
Unless they're required to go a different way by prohibition, absolutely.
Okay. And we've already established that, based upon my hypothetical, a tractor trailer making a delivery to the warehouse could go through the park, okay? So assuming that an extension of that hypothetical, the truck goes through the park, it's then at the traffic light in the borough of Milford, it has to decide where to go to get to the warehouse, doesn't it?
In that hypothetical, yes, it would.
Okay. So it would either go up the hill, and you've told me that a prohibition on a right-hand turn would stop them from going in that direction. Isn't that your opinion?
No, I said that a prohibition, first of all, it's a signed prohibition, and it would be physically designed to prohibit it as much as possible.
Okay. Who's going to be at the gate or at the intersection of the warehouse property and Route 6 to stop trucks from coming in if they're coming from the wrong direction? Who's going to police that?
That would not be in my area to comment on. Okay. Might enforce something.
So assume that you're correct and that the sign and the difficulty of making the turn stops a truck driver from going up the hill, and of course there's the hill itself. What would stop a truck driver from taking Route 6 through Milford Township, Westfall Township, to the 84 interchange, and then take 84 to the site?
In your hypothetical, that's what they would do, yes.
I have nothing further. Thank you, sir.
Just a couple of follow-ups based on that line of questioning. Are you aware of any PennDOT definitions of the local delivery exception?
Well, I can only say what my understanding is, but I cannot specifically say if it applies universally to every situation. My understanding is, for example, if you are a resident who requires a moving van to come to their house or a delivery in a large truck, that would be an exception. It's a local delivery to a destination in the restricted area. It doesn't apply to a warehouse that is a origin of truck traffic.
Are you aware of PennDOT Publication 236?
Yes.
Are you aware of a definition for local deliveries within that publication?
I can't recall it. I probably have seen it, but I can't recall it now.
If I were to tell you that it's defined as a local deliveries are defined as deliveries going to or from a residence, commercial establishment, or farm located on a posted highway, or which can be reached only via a posted highway, would that exception apply here?
It can only be reached via a posted highway? I say no, it would not apply.
Okay. I object to the question because it assumes that we're talking about a state restriction and not a federal restriction. And it is indeed a federal restriction.
Well, I asked the question, I will overrule that, but I think the answer is helpful. Mr. Pinchot, any questions?
I thought it was handheld.
This may be viewed as a hypothetical as well, but would you accept the fact that in all over this region, when one warehouse comes in around an interchange, there's often a second and a third warehouse around that interchange? This is a progressive pattern that's going on all through the region?
Objection to that question. I think that's overly broad. I mean, obviously, things like zoning ordinances affect the answer to that question.
Well, I understand that, but there are three other potential warehouse sites around the 84 interchange. And so if we're taking a look at, especially the 80 acres that's directly across the street on Buse Road, if we're talking about a traffic study, we're talking about what the implications would be for traffic if two or three warehouses were there. And then your assumptions about what is a safe amount of traffic disappear.
Get to the question based on that explanation.
I'm going to sustain the objection. Could you try to just narrow your question a little bit to the property?
Okay, let's assume that, and I may be wrong, but I think I understood that National Land Developers was also looking at the 83 acres directly across from the project site we're talking about now. If both of those projects were developed, have you considered the impact on the traffic?
Objection. There's no facts and evidence